Welcome to the West Point Church Podcast. Here you can find past and future messages. Be sure to subscribe so you get updates as soon as those sermons are posted. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a good week.
Good morning, everybody. So good to see you. Wow, this is so much fun. Can we just give it up for our worship team this morning coming out here? They have been absolutely incredible. Every week is a new adventure. So we are working through this thing together, and they've been so faithful with our recording. Pretty much every Friday night, we're here till late in the evening working on that, and they've done an incredible job. Also, for our tech team right now, they have done an amazing job. I can't tell you how many things have gone wrong this morning, but they're working through it, and they're doing the best that they can with the challenges that they have and put in a ton of hours. And so we want to say thank you to them. Make sure you send them a text message and let them know how much that you appreciate them as well. If you're here this morning and you want to tune in on the radio, we'd encourage you to do that. Just jump to 89.1, and you should be able to hear what's going on. And if you can't, well, sorry. But I think it's working. It was working earlier. But I want to tell you a joke this morning. Before I do that, I want to say, first of all, happy Mother's Day, moms. We're excited. There are actually a couple expecting moms that are just about to have babies for the first time, and we're excited for you. There are some that just had babies just in the last couple of weeks, and we're excited for them as well, new families. And we are also excited for those of you who have been moms for many years, that are currently in the middle of a bunch of kids running around in diapers that are going through all different seasons of life. And so we want to honor you. And we have a gift for you this morning, and you probably already got one. But if you didn't, let one of our parking attendants know. Maybe turn on your flashers again. But we want to make sure that all your moms got a bouquet of flowers this morning. And we want to say thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for being amazing. Thank you for being wonderful. And we are so glad that you're part of this church family, and we want to honor you for the sacrifices that you have made and for every gift that you have given to your family, to your kids, and to us as a church community. And we want to bless you and honor you this morning. I just want to say a prayer over you right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each mom that's here this morning, for moms to be, for moms that have raised their children, even for moms who have lost children. Lord, we know that this can be a difficult day for some as well. Lord, we just pray your hand of blessing over each mom that's here right now. God, we pray that you would touch them. Lord, that you would speak to them. God, that you would comfort them when they're feeling down, that you would give them joy in the work that they do and in those many thankless tasks that they fulfill as a mom in the times that they're loving and serving their kids. God, we pray that you would help them to find joy in that. Help them to find peace in your Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen. All right, are you ready for a joke this morning? It's kind of weird telling a joke to a bunch of cars, I got to say. But hey, if you think it's funny, you can flash your lights at me afterwards. All right. I got the top 10 ways the coronavirus is like my preaching. Are you ready for this? Number 10, it just keeps getting worse. Number 9, people are constantly asking, is it over yet? Number 8, the young people don't take it very seriously. Number 7, you probably won't get it. And number 6, the people that are most affected by it are senior citizens. Number 5, it makes it easier to stay home. Number 4, it's shut down a lot of churches. Number 3, people are making a lot of grocery lists. Number 2, people want it to hurry up and end so that they can be the first to the restaurants. And number one, once it's started, everybody has to go to the bathroom. All right. I promise it'll get better from there. Okay. We have been in the book of Acts for the last couple of weeks, and we're continuing this morning talking about Acts chapter 1. And you know, one of the most stressful things, if you are in a position of management at your work, or maybe you own a company, one of the most stressful things that you can do is hire an employee, right? Because there are so many things that you have to think about in that process. You have to think about their qualifications. You have to think about, can we afford this person? You have to think about whether or not they have good character. You have to think about how their presence will affect the team. And then if things aren't working out, then it gets really uncomfortable, right? Because then you have to make a decision whether to try to work things out, whether to work with that employee or to let them go. You know, I'm so thankful that we have such an amazing team here at West Point, because being on a dysfunctional team is frustrating on every level. And even one person that causes difficulty in a large organization can make it miserable for everybody else. And in this passage of scripture that we're going to look at today, the disciples were at this point in the book of Acts. They were just starting as an organization, as a church, and they had to replace somebody. You see, when Judas committed suicide shortly after Christ's crucifixion, there was a hole left on that team. He had always been the dysfunctional member. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was stealing. And there were a number of other things that he was causing issues with on that team. And so the disciples said, Jesus chose 12 of us, and it wouldn't be right for us to move forward without replacing him, without having 12 people on this team. And I think there are a number of things that we can learn through their process about making those big decisions in life. Every single one of us, whether you're in a position, whether you would have to hire someone or not, is really irrelevant. But whether you've ever had to make a difficult decision before, there are some principles that we can learn from God's word in that process. And then there are some really important things that we can learn from the character of the man that they actually chose, Matthias, to replace Judas. And we know very little about him from the Bible. There's a little bit more throughout church history that we can kind of glean, but I want to look at him as well and say, are there a few things that we can learn from him this morning too? So let's take a look at this passage, and we're still in Acts chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up where we left off in the choosing of this disciple. So we're going to pick it up in verse 12. Here's what it says. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, different than Judas Iscariot. And all of these were in one accord, and they were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was about 120. And said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. That's a very graphic description of his death. It's in the Bible. That's why I'm reading it this morning. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, which is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who had accompanied us during all this time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us. One of these men with us, a witness to his resurrection. Remember last week we said Jesus called his disciples to be witnesses. So they're saying we want that person to be a witness with us, to be one of us, to be one of the 12. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus. This is not Barabbas. He's a different character in the Bible. This is Barsabbas. We're going to talk about him with the name Justus, because that's easy to remember. And then Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go down to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. All right, so a couple of things as we look back at this passage. First of all, the entire Christian church is 120 people at this time, right? 120 people. That is smaller than probably what's here in this parking lot right now. Think about that for a second. All of Christianity began with 120 people. Can you imagine if God can do that with 120 people, then what can he do with West Point Church in this community and in our world? Sometimes we fail to give God the credit that he deserves. We fail to recognize that he's able to do way more than we could ever even dream of. And we limit him because we don't have enough resources, and we don't have enough people. We can't do this, and we can't do that. Well, God changed the entire world. There are hundreds of millions of Christians today because of the 120 people that started in the book of Acts. And it also says about them that the disciples were in one accord. They were on the same page. Why? It tells us why. Because they were devoted to prayer. Can I tell you something? Nothing big happens in the kingdom of God unless God's people choose to pray. And they got to choose to pray together. It begins with prayer. It starts with prayer. And they were in agreement because they were praying. They were listening to the voice of God. And Peter, the emerging leader of the church, speaks up and says, if we're going to do what Jesus called us to do, we need to replace Judas. Jesus thought there should be 12 of us, so we should honor that. Now, this is what's incredible. They were devoted to prayer together. They were in one accord, and they still didn't know who to pick. There are going to be times in your life when you are not going to know what to decide. And even when you're prayed up, and even when you're doing all the right things, there are going to be moments in your life where you're not going to have perfect clarity. And so here's what they did. It's a really scientific process. It's a really spiritual process. They drew straws. They left it to chance. They picked two guys. They said, this guy would be good, and this guy would be good. Let's put their names in a hat. Whichever one we pull out is the new disciple. It doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? It doesn't sound very scientific, right? This is what's incredible about this. Even in those moments where we don't know exactly what to do, we don't have to be so paralyzed by fear that we stand still and do nothing. We can still act. We can still be confident that God will be able to move even when we don't make the most precise and perfect decision. And we can trust him. In fact, they were allowing him to be part of the process. In their minds there, they're saying, okay, God, here's two good guys. You pick which one. We'll leave it in your hands. We don't have to be paralyzed by fear when we have a difficult decision to make. So there are a number of things that I think we can learn about this process from the disciples. The first thing is that you should use the gift of wisdom that God gave you. right? They analyzed it. They said, we need to pick somebody who's been here since Jesus was baptized by John and stayed with us all the way to the resurrection. Somebody that's proven themselves faithful. And then they put that criteria in. They narrowed it down to two men that could potentially fill that position. But then the second thing that they did after using the wisdom that God had given them, they left room for God's intervention in the process. They said, okay, God, here's two guys, you pick. We're going to leave it to chance, and we're going to trust you. The third thing I want us to understand is don't let the lack of perfect understanding prevent you from moving forward. Sometimes you don't have the whole map laid out in front of you. Sometimes you only have the next step. And God is asking you to step out in faith and trust him enough to take that first step in that journey with him and then trust him enough that he's going to lead you to that next step. Sometimes you don't even know which way to go. And you're going to say, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. If this is wrong, stop me. Turn me around. Put something in my path. I'm trusting you. I'm listening to your voice. I want to hear from you, but I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do right now. And so I'm going to trust you in this process, and I'm going to keep moving, and I'm going to allow you to steer me as I'm going. If any of you have ever tried to drive a car without power steering before, my first car did not have power steering. I know that's not really a thing anymore, but it was a Nissan Sentra. It cost $7,000 brand new. 1990 Nissan Sentra. It was a stick shift. It didn't have power steering. And one of the things that you will recognize if your power steering pump ever goes out, if you're sitting still, you're not going to be able to turn that steering wheel, right? You can crank on it. You might be able to move it, you know, half an inch or so. Maybe if you put everything into it, you'll be able to turn it a little bit. But it is really hard to steer a vehicle that isn't moving unless you have something driving that ability for you to steer. And sometimes God can steer us best when we actually get ourselves in motion, when we actually start trusting him, when we actually start moving in one direction, and then we allow him to steer us where he wants us to go. But not only do I think we can learn some things from the process that the disciples used to choose Matthias as a replacement, there are some things that we can learn from the guys who they picked from. You know, one of the things that we can learn from this guy, Justice, who we know very little about, this is the only time in Scripture where he's mentioned. But one of the things that we can learn is that even when you're doing all the right things, even when you've been with Jesus from the beginning and you're being faithful and you're following him, sometimes God chooses somebody else. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. You just be faithful where God has placed you. Maybe you're looking at your life right now and you're like, I want to accomplish big things. I want to do big things. But God keeps choosing someone else to fill that role. Maybe you wish you were the one up here holding a microphone right now. And God has this goofy guy that tells bad jokes instead of you. Right? Whatever it is, you're wondering what God has for your life. And you're wondering why things aren't working out the way that you expected them to. Can I encourage you with something? Continue to be faithful. The Bible doesn't tell us anything more about Justice, but church history does. In fact, this guy, Justice, he was a good guy. He had faithfully been following Christ, and God had a plan for him. And even though it wasn't to be one of the 12 disciples, he was still a key leader in the church. And he went out and he started a church in another region. And he was well respected there, and he ended up leading them in that area just outside of Judea. And he ended up giving his life for his faith as a martyr. He gave everything. He paid the ultimate price. He ended up serving Christ in an amazing way, even though he wasn't chosen. So don't be disappointed when God chooses someone else. He still wants to use you. Be faithful in the areas that God has placed you. Be faithful in the things that he's called you to do. Here's the next one, Matthias. There is something I want us to learn from this guy, Matthias, because I think he was a pretty cool guy. He was there faithful, waiting in the background. And when God called his number, when he said, it's time for you to step up to this leadership role, he was ready to go. You know, I think of the NFL, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, a guy named Tom Brady. You probably heard of him. I'm not a big fan himself because I don't like the New England Patriots. But can I tell you something? Tom Brady did not come into the NFL, everybody expecting him to be this great quarterback. He ended up on the Patriots. He was drafted by that organization, and he was behind one of the best quarterbacks in the league at that time, a guy named Drew Bledsoe. And Drew Bledsoe was a well-respected quarterback. He had set records as a rookie. I mean, he was a top quarterback, and Tom Brady probably never would have seen the field in those early years, except Drew Bledsoe got hurt. And they called his number, and Tom Brady stepped in and led that team and ended up taking... Yes. That was God amening me, by the way. He ended up taking that position and leading that team. And what's incredible, he ended up probably being the greatest quarterback that the National Football League has ever seen. He was faithful in the background, and when his opportunity came, he seized that moment. Now, we don't know much about Matthias, like Justice. The Bible doesn't really tell us anything about him after this passage of Scripture. But church history tells us that his journeys took him all the way into Ethiopia, that he brought the gospel into Africa, that he started building the church there, and that when he came back to Jerusalem, he gave his life as a martyr as well. He lived an incredible life, and he was ready when God called him. So don't be disappointed when God hasn't called you for whatever reason that might be, or when God hasn't called you to the position that you expected to be in. But when he does call you, be ready. Be ready for what he has for you. Because God can use you to do incredible things. And if you're going through a time right now where you need to make some difficult decisions, maybe you're going through something with your family, maybe it's work-related, there's a million different things going on right now in your life. Can I tell you something? God wants to give you wisdom, but he might not give you the full picture. So start moving and trusting God and being willing to turn if he redirects you. And as you walk through life, allow him to steer you, allow him to guide you.